Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
We are hitting ISIL harder than ever. Coalition aircraft, our fighters, bombers, and drones have been increasing the pace of airstrikes, nearly 9,000 as of today. Last month, in November, we dropped more bombs on ISIL targets than any other month since this campaign started. We're also taking out ISIL leaders, commanders, and killers.
It's entertainment having Obama in the White House. Play this, because this is all we got left. It's old rock and roll. All right, whatever. Turn it off. I'm not in the mood for that either. So Obama gives a speech, you see, about how he's beating ISIL. ISIL, you know, you don't know whether this guy's talking about the weather in Sierra Nevada, icicles, or an Islamo-fascist enemy that threatens to engulf the world with its hatred. So lackluster that all you can do is laugh at him, because that's all he's worthy of is laughter. But I guess his ratings have gone up. That's the main thing. All that matters is his ratings are higher than Trump's. Trump is at 41%. Obama, I think, is at 141%, because the level of stupidity has never been higher in the United States of America. And when you consider the immigrants who don't speak English, his popularity can be 200% for all we know, since they don't know what he's saying. Just that he looks good in what he's saying, and that's the important thing. Anyway, what do you want me to talk about? Here it is. Here's the five stories. Here are the five stories that I chose to discuss today. Obama Hanukkah party attacks Islamophobia and calls for justice for Palestinians. That's right. He has perverted a Hanukkah party, a party for Jews, by attacking Jewishness, Jews in Israel. Invited a whack job, moron, psychopathic, left-wing so-called rabbi. I love rabbi. What does rabbi mean? Rabbi means nothing. What does it mean? With what they churn out of these left-wing academies now, what is a rabbi? What does rabbi mean, teacher? She's a teacher, like... Anyway, she goes to the White House. Instead of having a really strong, identifiable Jewish person there, she has someone who attacks homophobia, Islamophobia, and transphobia. That's rabbis today in the liberal church. Then we have the liberal church of Hollywood. Norman Lear, remember him? The man who created people... I think he created All in the Family, Meathead. He's now a 93-year-old senile case. And he gave himself an award, and he announced an initiative to combat Donald Trump's so-called hate speech and anti-Muslim rhetoric. Can anyone explain this to me? Please explain it to me. And I mean this in the most respectful way possible. Why do liberal Jews embrace Islam more so than any other group in America? Tell me. Can anyone explain that to me? Why do liberal Jews embrace Islam when Islam hates Jews? Now, I wouldn't say that if it was not in the Quran itself. You know and I know that they consider themselves better than everybody, even by their holy book. It's in the holy book. Read yourself what it says, not what the politicians have told you to think the holy book says. Topic number three. The politically correct crowd just got a great American novel banned. That's right, you heard me. Mark Twain is now out. They threw out Huck Finn, I think, because he uses the N-word. Even though the whole novel is about a white boy who befriends a runaway slave named Jim, they threw it out of the library in Philadelphia. Of course, it's a friend's library, and that's a Quaker group. And you know what Quakers are, don't you? You know how nuts the Quakers are, don't you? And I'm not talking about the oats either. 350 babies and their parents possibly exposed to TB. At a Northern California hospital. They won't identify the nurse with TB. But now all of the infants and mothers need an antibiotic treatment. The San Jose Mercury News reports that Santa Clara County officials are trying to track down 350 babies and their parents who may have been exposed to a nurse with TB at Valley Medical Center's Mother and Infant Care Center. I wonder who the nurse is. I wonder if she's documented. Anyone have a guess on that one? Here's another one that is heartbreaking. In New York City, a psychopathic principal has banned the Pledge of Allegiance and Santa Claus. The psycho has replaced Thanksgiving, etc. The new principal, Eugene Jaela Kim, has given PS 169 in Sunset Park, Brooklyn, a politically insane scrub down to the dismay of teachers and parents. They can't say Merry Christmas, no angels, no star because it's going to represent a religious system like the Star of David. Instead, she put in a harvest festival. The teacher's a certifiable maniac. That's New York City schools under de Blasio, the psycho. Here's another one for those of you who think it's all a joke. Are you ready? How long have I, Michael Savage, called ISIS Islamofascism? Like for as long as you can remember? Well, I'm not making this one up. ISIS's Sharia judges ordered the extermination of disabled children. Yeah, yeah, turn the radio off. You don't want to hear it. I'm the bad guy. Trump is the bad guy. Not ISIS, not Obama. They're the good guys. Islamic State jihadists have reportedly ordered the execution of children who are mentally or physically retarded, disabled. An horrific replay of the Nazi atrocities that murdered thousands of children with disabilities during World War II. In a Facebook post, the Iraqi activist group Mosel I released a video and reported a fatwa had been issued on the innocents. Are you ready? Hold on to your hat, all you good liberals, because you think that Trump is the problem. You think we on the conservative side are the problem. It's your sickness. It's your mental illness. It's Norman Lear's mental illness. It's liberalism itself. That's the mental illness. Sharia judges have ruled ISIS followers are authorized to kill newborn babies with Down syndrome or congenital deformities and disabled children, the group writes. Naming one of the judges as a Saudi Arabian, which I will, his name I will not read. Already, more than 38 infants born with deformities and Down syndrome have been killed either by lethal injection or suffocation in the ISIS strongholds in Syria and in Mosul. And you psychopathic losers want to remove Assad, you sick things, you. Look, liberalism is a very, very serious mental disorder. It's fundamentally filled with moderate terrorists who pose as liberals. Now I want to do something I've not done in a while. I like to play with my Facebook account over the weekend. I give people a little taste of what's coming on Monday. They're all clamoring to hear the wit and wisdom of Michael Savage, yours truly. So I posted a story over the weekend, and I'm just going to read it to you because you have to listen to what I wrote. It occurred to me Saturday night I had a satori. Many of you don't know what a satori is, but if you've read Alan Watts or you're an ex-hippie, or let's say if you're at all literate, if you've even read a book, let's say you've read a book in your entire life, you'll know what a satori is. And here's what I wrote after I had a satori about it. Here's what I wrote. Have you figured out why it's Merkel, the potato-faced monster from East Germany's communist past, and why it's been the radical feminists here who are flooding the West with Muslim males? Have you been able to see the pattern? They hate their fathers, so they hate white males and Christianity. And they think these Muslim men will treat them better, I ask? Like Obama's mother. Do you get it? That's Dr. Michael Savage, psychiatric analysis for a Sunday evening. And I got, oh, not a lot of people, but 15,000 people who have a brain and could actually think, responded to it. And some of them were quite brilliant. Some of them were predictable. But the issue is, I actually broke the code on why it's Potato Face herself in Germany and the radical feminists who are flooding America with Muslim males. Incidentally, it's 90% Muslim males of military age who are coming into Germany and into the United States of America. And the part that slays me the most is you watch a show like Homeland, which I did last night, which is one of the best episodes ever, and they know, the people who write that, direct it, produce it, and act in it, they understand the existential threat to the West, and they have produced a drama about it. And they show a group of Muslim refugees, deeply embedded in Germany, part of German life, welcomed in as refugees, who are plotting to release sarin gas in a German subway to poison tens of thousands of Germans and kill them. How is it that liberals who watch shows like this and applaud shows like this cannot connect their fantasy from the reality upon which it is based? Where is the disconnect, I ask myself. I don't expect an answer. But those are the questions that plague me in this time of madness in the world, in the West, which is committing suicide at a pace I could never imagine would have appeared in my lifetime. I'll open the lines up now to 855-407-2822. 855-400-SAVAGE. I don't know if I want to take calls on that, but here is another one for you if you just tuned in. Here is Obama perverting the entire meaning of Hanukkah, using a Jewish celebration fundamentally for children called Hanukkah to attack all of our values, call for justice for Palestinians, and attack anyone who stands up to radical Islam as being Islamophobic. Are you ready? Here is the person he chose to speak at our White House and pollute it with her insanity. Clip number three.
I stand here to light these lights to say no to the darkness of Islamophobia and homophobia and transphobia and racism and anti-Semitism and all the other isms that dare to dim our hope.
Oh, shut up.
I stand here like President Rivlin said.
All right, turn it. I can't listen to it. I just ate lunch and I'm getting sick. Her voice alone is enough to make me insane. I can't listen to it. Look how Obama continues to insult Jews. Instead of inviting an upstanding Jewish man, a real man, a Jewish man who understands the meaning of Hanukkah, who can explain it to the people, he invites this sick creature who, not only that, but she insults Muslims, incidentally. She puts Islamophobia, homophobia, and transphobia in one breath. So she's saying transsexuals and homosexuals and Muslims are all one to her? You talk about a brain that is screwed up? All right, that's the opening to the show. If you like what you heard, there'll be more when I return right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2646. The real start to the show. What you heard was the pre-show. This is the real show starts now. So let me give you a warm, cuddly Christmas story. This should make all of you good Christians in America feel good. Illegal aliens who fled over the border, broke into our borders, undocumented minors, they're called by psychopathic social service liberals, have been given a welcome. And they broke into America, and Friday afternoon, the first of hundreds of the illegal aliens from Mexico were checked into a camp and conference center in Texas, in Ellis County. They were assigned nice, clean rooms with white sheets, given dinner, and they have an indoor pool to swim in. And you wonder why they're running out of Mexico? They don't have to work, by the way. No way, it gets even better. The illegal alien teens are coming in. They're getting the swimming pool, the sheets. They got the, they're getting education and recreation. They're getting soccer. They're getting arts and crafts. Yeah. And in Dallas, attorney Domingo Garcia says he's organizing lawyers willing to represent the illegal alien invaders in immigration court. He said, make sure their legal rights are protected, that they're in a comfortable place. And even though they're separated from their families, that they have a Christmas that teaches them what American values are like. Hey, Domingo, I'll tell you what American values are like. When we get Donald Trump as president, you'll find out what American values are like because you'll be on the same bus going south that they'll be on, Domingo. That's what American values are, is putting you on a bus out of the country as a seditious. See, I didn't mean to do this. I apologize in advance. That's an American value. It's called protecting your borders, language, and culture. Not giving a bunch of invaders a swimming pool and a soccer camp. What kind of nation is this? How can the country survive the liberals who have destroyed it so far? I don't know if there's any going back in reality. People say to me every day, do you think we can save it? I'm not so sure. You'd have to reverse everything that the psycho in the White House has done over the last number of years. How hard do you think it would be to reverse what psycho has done and what psycho is going to do? Psycho is trying to impose his demonic will upon the American people every day of his life. Psycho does it every way he can. The psycho invites a fake rabbi to the White House to deliver a sermon about Hanukkah that is nothing but a left-wing screed. It has nothing to do with religion, nothing to do with Judaism, nothing to do with the tradition of the Jewish people. And he invites, on top of it all, the leftist, the furthest left woman, so-called rabbi, he could ever find to disgrace Judaism even further. He's embracing every far left doctrine imaginable. It's beyond anything that a college would be doing. This is how bad this is, and there's no opposition. Okay, I made my point. I've editorialized enough. And he gave a speech this morning saying the United States is attacking the Islamic State harder than ever. Listen to this one. Trying to calm Americans about terrorism for the third time in 3 weeks, President Obama, who speaks loudly and carries a limp stick, said that the U.S.-led coalition is attacking the Islamic State in Syria and Iraq harder than ever? Really? Then why are they still operating? You could have defeated Nazi Germany in less time if you had a real war leader instead of speak loudly and carry a limp stick. The only people that Obama saves his viciousness for are the American people, the taxpayers, and those in the Republican Party who don't knuckle under to him. Otherwise, what do you got to say? He took Roosevelt's talk softly and carry a big stick and reversed it. Talk loudly and carry a limp stick. That's what we see. And it goes on and it gets worse and worse by the day. But look, most people listening to the show are not listening to the show right now. They're packing. They're buying presents. They're scanning shopping lists. They got to remember all their relatives and friends and colleagues and parties to go to. They don't care about Obama or illegal aliens or Islamos coming in. They don't care about any of that. Nah. It's the presents. Now, what did I buy Molly? What do I have to buy Billy? When am I due at Johnny's party? What's this about Islam? Oh, I know nothing about it. San Bernahuno? San Bernahuno?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7287.
I stand here to light these lights to say no to the darkness of Islamophobia and homophobia and transphobia and racism and anti-Semitism and all the other isms that dare to dim our hope.
All right, turn it off. Turn it off. It's why Jews fled the synagogue. Why doesn't she add Christophobia to the list? I guarantee you she's a Christophobic. I can guarantee you she fears Christians more than anything else in her life. A psycho. So that's who's invited to the White House for a Hanukkah party. A left-wing fanatic, Susan Talve. A suicidal, false rabbi from St. Louis. Unbelievable to me what I'm witnessing, but it gets better. Wait. If you want to have a good entertainment, go to michaelsavage.com. I dug this picture up because you're not going to believe it. Headline, U.S. judge sworn into office on Quran. Okay, unto itself, it's crazy because this is not a Muslim nation. It's founded on the Bible, not on the Quran. But aside from that insanity, wait until you see what she wears on her head. Looks like a dead cat. She's wearing something on her head that looks like a dead leopard skin or a dead cat. Take a look at the fool. New York's newest 7th Municipal Court judge for the... I don't know where that is, for the 7th Municipal District Court judge for the Brooklyn Borough, a Muslim woman, has turned to the Quran to swear in to her seat. Now, the question is it even legal to swear in on a Quran? When did that become legal? But secondly, she looks deranged. She's wearing a dead cat on her head. Looks like a leopard skin. Well, what is this about? What is this, a mockery of what a judge... If you were doing Saturday Night Live 15 years ago, and you wanted to mock what America would look like when everyone had... Let's say someone released a gas that made everybody crazy and smile all the time. This is the picture of this face you'd put on that television show. If you were doing a Saturday Night Live skit in the year 2000, showing what would happen when a psychopathic left-wing college professor would become president... You'd put the picture of Obama on Saturday Night Live and everyone would have a screaming laugh. There wouldn't be an actor who would not be laughing hysterically, rolling in the aisles. You get the picture. You get the picture. When did this nation become a Muslim nation that you can swear on a Quran? I mean, is that legal? When did that become legal? I don't get it. Let's see. Trump 41%. You know, I am so bored of these polls. I'm sick of it already. This thing with the caucus in Iowa, I'm heard on a large station in Iowa, right? What's my biggest station in Iowa? Come on, guys. You work for the show for 2 years. I'm a big affiliate in Iowa, so I want to tread very carefully here. Using Iowa as a bellwether for what's going to happen when human beings in a diverse America, a multicultural America, not, let us say, overweight white pig farmers or cattle farmers or wheat farmers go to the polls, doesn't make sense to me. Why in the world is everyone paying attention to New Hampshire or Iowa when America is no longer, it's not 1864 or it's not the antebellum time? What in the world is wrong with you people? And the biggest joke is that idiot, Jake Dirty Tapwater, this guy is so desperate for attention, this loser on CNN, that I swear to God, Saturday he started standing in an empty room in Las Vegas at a hotel where the debates are going to be tomorrow night, standing there in an empty room with a countdown clock. This is how desperate CNN has gone to ratings. Saturday night, Jake Dirty Tapwater was standing in an empty room in the Venetian Hotel, freezing his ears off with a headphone microphone like there was a crowd, blabbering on and on about nothing, with a clock counting down when the debates are going to begin. Now, I understand they're using Wolf Blitzowitz to be the debate moderator, which is a scream. How did the Republicans let this happen? Now, I can tell you what it's going to be. Someone asked me, what do you think is going to happen? I said, what, do you have to be a genius to figure it out? I had him laughing on the phone last night. I said, here's what's going to happen. Blitzer's going to start attacking Trump by saying, well, first question will go to Donald Trump.
Hey, Mr. Trump, isn't it true that you recently called for the banning of Muslims coming into America? Do you still stand by that, Mr. Trump?
Now, my answer to him would be, Wolf, let me ask you a question. How is it that you, as an Israeli Jew, are so much in favor of invading America with Muslims that you'd rather attack me than ask yourself whether your liberalism is a survival mechanism or a suicidal mechanism? Wolf, I throw the question back to you. Why is it not legal for a candidate to throw a dirty question back at a host in a debate? Where did it become like you can't do it? That's what I would do. I mean, I would fight fire with fire. I wouldn't answer any of his questions. I'd throw them back at him. Wolf, how could it be that a man like you, whose ratings have plummeted severely, are still on television? Why are you not performing balloon tricks at an old age home in West Palm Beach, Florida? Wolf, how is it that you're still on television when you well know you're past your prime and no one believes a word you're saying? Wolf, isn't it true you've been a registered Democrat all your life? What gives you the validity to ask me anything, Wolf? And these are just the light things I would say. I'd get probably much hotter than that. I wouldn't put up with it. But I actually advise Donald Trump not to even go to the debate. An empty chair would give him a higher rating than going there and being abused by Chris Christie, the blimp. They're gonna all attack him. That's all they're going to do. And then what's the difference about these debates? What difference do they really make anyway? How come they're giving Hillary Clinton a pass who destroyed the whole Western world? Old Blitzer, I'd say, Blitzer, how come you're so tough with me and you don't ask one question about Hillary Clinton's disastrous foreign policy with regard to the Arab Spring? How is it that you can be so biased and blind and still be in business, Wolf? I don't understand. Those are the questions I would ask. But the Republicans don't seem to get it because they're part of the establishment. They want the amenities of the election. You know, one day I'm going to do a little show on how much money they make off these things. You don't understand this. You ask, why would a guy like Christie or some of the others still be in the campaign when their numbers are so low? Do you have any idea how many tens of millions of dollars are coming into their campaign funds just for staying in the elections? You say, well, I know, but they can't touch it. Oh, no, they can't touch it. But it's sort of like a government within a government. What they do with that money is they spread it around amongst friends and cronies and family members, polling data, travel, this, that, tens of millions of dollars. Do you know how much money is made by the ad agencies and the bundlers on these things, which is why they keep people who will never, ever make it to the final tape in these campaigns? Anyway, what is this about the primaries that matter? Do you really care what happens in Iowa? Do you care what happens in a little state like New Hampshire? Do you think New Hampshire represents what's going to happen in America? I mean, we're way past the Currier and Ives phase of the United States of America. It's no longer sleigh bells with reindeer pulling a sled, with four white people sitting in the sled, going home to a Christmas dinner. It's a different country. Who cares what New Hampshire does? It does not represent America in any way. Who cares what Iowa does? Maybe they're fine people. Maybe they give us our food. Wonderful. But they don't represent America's multiculturalism and gigantic diversity. They don't represent it at all. So how can you really know what they mean? What do they mean? Nothing. Why do you care about this primary? I don't care about it, frankly. I am bored of it. Our elections are a farce. They go on too long. They cost too much money. They distract people from the real problems of the world. Right or wrong? Okay. WABC, Kenny, you're the first up. Go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
All right, Michael. And you know what? First of all, if members of the American military sang Onward Christian Soldiers, they probably get court-martialed. And you are right. These primaries are, it's an industry. It's a cottage industry. Tremendous amount of money changes hands. Iowa and New Hampshire have no significance whatsoever to America, to the future.
Kenny, you're a talk radio listener. You really eat, drink, and sleep politics. Do you care about these primaries at all?
No, these primaries were always linked up, so the establishment.
Do you care about poll numbers that show Trump up, Cruz down, Trump up, Christie down? Do you care about any of those poll numbers at this point? I don't.
I don't even watch the debates. They might as well throw pies at each other. I couldn't even care less. I might watch if they threw pies at each other.
I'm not going to watch the debate tomorrow night. I've finally been invited to a holiday party at a Ferrari dealership, which I'm going to go to. I want to see the new cars. I'd rather look at the new cars than Chris Christie. I mean, I'd rather go look at new cars. What do I want to go there for? You know, I'll take the dog to a car showroom. You know, Kenny, all I do now is I watch car shows. I'm so bored of the news. I find either I watch a boxing match or a car show. I can't take it anymore. I don't watch any of the news channels. I mean, I'm not that interested in shoes and lipstick, so I don't watch Fox News. Okay. I'm not interested at all in Wolf Blitz's politics and the stupidity of the women on CNN. And secondly, they wear very ugly shoes on CNN. You know, they really ought to get a new shoe advisor on CNN. Maybe their ratings would go up. The worst makeup, the worst shoes, the worst hairdos in the history of the media. I don't know if I want to talk about any of this. Here's some headlines. It gets better. Obama eyes Cuba visit, says Castro is not an ideologue. Your president is so sick in the head that he thinks that you're not going to know who the dictators are. They're not an ideologue. President Obama is planning a visit to Cuba to see dictator Raul Castro, and he's calling him not an ideologue. Now, this is the same day that they put 300 dissidents in prison. Obama said, my hope is that sometime next year we look at the conditions there and we say, you know what, now would be a good time to shine a light on progress that's been made, but also maybe to nudge the Cuban government in a new direction. What does he mean by that? Okay, Navy's newest ship, the USS Milwaukee, breaks down at sea. There you go. How's that for the military-industrial complex? It cost, what, $330 million or something like that? A combat ship, the USS Milwaukee, was commissioned in November. It broke down at sea on Friday, had to be towed. Oh, God. If this doesn't symbolize the new Navy on the Mavis, and had to be towed more than 40 miles to a base in Little Creek, Virginia, the Navy Times reported. The ship constructed at the Marinette Marine Corps shipyard in Marinette suffered an engineering problem while en route from Halifax, Canada to Mayport, Florida, and then ultimately its home port of San Diego, according to a post on the Navy Times website. Now, being a boater and somewhat of a mechanical guy, I try to find out what caused the ship that cost $300 million to break down soon after being launched. And it said some engine filings got into a filter. That doesn't make any sense to me. First of all, where'd the filings come from? Unless someone threw them into the engine, into the fuel. Number one. Number two, why didn't they change the filter? Usually a filter sets off a certain computer signal, especially on a ship of that expense, to say that it's stuffed and it's, can't function as a filter anymore. So it looks like sabotage to me. But I wouldn't say that because that would be considered a conspiracy theory. Navy's newest ship, USS Milwaukee, breaks down at sea. Did you hear what I just said? Nothing symbolizes the U.S. military better than this story. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOI.
ISIL also continues to lose territory in Iraq. ISIL had already lost across Kirkuk province and at Tikrit. More recently, ISIL lost at Sinjar, losing a strategic highway. ISIL lost
at Bajin. Why does he sound so unhappy? Does he sound like a leader who's leading the troops in a battle for life and death? Why does he sound so like he doesn't give a damn? Could it be because he doesn't give a damn? Why does this fool talk in vague platitudes about virtually everything and get away with it? Answer, because of Wolf Blitzer, because of Jake Tapper, because of George Stephanopoulos, because of the useless Democrat-controlled media. That's all. Vague platitudes? That's what passes for leadership today. Now, I don't know what I want to do with calls, and I want to take calls. Maybe I need a vacation. Maybe I need a vacation. But the problem with a vacation is there's nothing I like to do on vacation. And what are you going to do on your vacation? I was going to do a little show on that, which is, are you looking forward to a vacation? Normal people like vacations. They do things like ski. Can you imagine that? White people ski. I never learned to ski. My kids I taught to ski because I figured if they're going to be an American, they better learn to ski. So even when I was a poor grad student, I took them to ski lessons. And they both ski. I don't know. Maybe they're better Americans than me, but I don't ski. I don't play tennis. I don't golf. Court-martial for Bergdahl. Army charges desertion, endangering unit by going AWOL in Afghanistan. I'm shocked. I'm shocked that they recommended a court-martial for Bergdahl. I'm surprised that Obama didn't embrace him and take him into the White House as a special attaché for Iraq and Syria. He could have been made a special attaché to ISIL. I'm just shocked that the U.S. Army decided to refer the case for general court-martial to face charges of desertion and endangering the safety of his unit. I hope that didn't leak out to the White House. I really hope not. Now, here's a tough story for me to read because someone has blood on their hands, and his name is Jay Johnson, in my opinion. Are you ready for this? ABC News, right-wing source. Secret U.S. policy blocks agents from looking at social media of visa applicants, former officials say. Fearing a civil liberties backlash and bad PR for the O administration, Homeland Security dunce Jay Johnson refused in early 2014 to end a secret U.S. policy that prohibited immigration officials from reviewing the social media messages of all foreign citizens applying for U.S. visas. During that time period, immigration officials were not allowed to use or review social media as part of the screening process. As a result, the witch from San Bernardino, the face from hell itself, couldn't look worse than that one in the headscarf that stares out at us, that ugliest face in the history of humanity, the one who machine-gunned innocent people at a Christmas party, slipped through. Tashfeen Malik passed through three background checks, even though her social media posts were sympathetic to terrorists, terrorism, and ISIL. All because Obama's handpicked Department of Homeland Security dunce, Jay Johnson, feared a civil liberties backlash and bad public relations. Why is he not fired? Do you agree with me that Jay Johnson, don't call the show, you know he should be fired. You know if we had a legitimate government, he never would have been appointed, that's number one. But aside from that, if we had a legitimate government, the hearings would have been occurring now from the idiot dunce Republicans, and Johnson would be on the hot seat, and they'd recommend he be fired. He has blood on his hands, and he still has his job. And Obama says we're attacking the Islamic State harder than ever. Platitudes and lies. Lies and platitudes. We'll be right back.
The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Blue Monday, I'm high blue Monday. Got to work, plan to sleep all day. Here come Tuesday.
We're not even at Tuesday yet. The dumb debates are tomorrow night. With, of all people on earth, Wolf Blitzer interrogating Republicans, they've learned nothing. And frankly, I don't know why Donald Trump is even appearing. He's so far ahead in the polls. He doesn't need to be raked over the coals. I would recommend that he not even go there and that there'd be just an empty slot and let the others attack him without him being there. I don't get it. I'm not going to watch them. I'm going to go to a Christmas party at a dealership, a new car dealership, and that's it. I don't want to. How many times can I look at this garbage? It's nothing. It's a distraction. It's nothing. The president's been elected already. They selected Hillary. She won. Now go home. Go and wrap your Kwanzaa presents. They picked her. It's over. That's all. It doesn't matter that she screwed up the whole world. It doesn't matter that her Arab Spring policy produced the millions of refugees, displaced them all over Europe, broke our borders open. It doesn't matter that millions of unaccounted dollars go into the Clinton Foundation. She is the next president of the United States, the best I can tell. I don't know what the charade is here. Actually, I do know what the charade is. The charade is to make you think that there's an election. The charade is to give you hope. The charade is to keep you from revolting. The charade is just another charade. They select the president. Nobody elects the president in the United States. I don't know how long this has been going on, but I suspect for quite a long time. It's a selection process, not an election process. And the New World Order has selected her to finish the bull off. Right now, Obama, for 7 years now, has been using his picadors to torture the bull, the American bull. To poke us with their left-wing sticks. All of the freaks have been led into the arena after they blinded the bull. After they blinded the bull, all of the freaks, the sickest people in the world, have been permitted to poke the American bull with sticks like the evil people in a bull ring. And then the picador comes along. The matador has permitted them to poke the poor bull with the sticks, the sickest jackals known to mankind have been poking America for 7 straight years now. Every institution, from the hoof to the ear, has been poked by these sick people. And in for the kill, there comes the sword and the cape. The masked woman enters the arena to finish the bull off, and her ears will be thrown to Saudi Arabia. The ears of the bull, rather, will be thrown to Saudi Arabia. They will cut the ears off the bull after it is dead, and throw it to Saudi Arabia. Not a bad, it's very flowery, nice idea. Make for a good cartoon, I suppose. So, it's basically holiday time. New coffee offers same heart benefit as red wine, chemist says. A University of New Hampshire chemist says he's developed a coffee that provides the same benefits to the heart as red wine. The Portsmouth Herald reports that Glenn Miller infused Arabica coffee beans with resveratrol, the natural antioxidant found in the skins of grapes and used to make red wine. And he says the infusion happens during the roasting of beans for his product to achieve its heart-healthy effect. Why don't you just eat grapes? I don't understand this. I eat red grapes every day. What's this with the, what do you have to have a chemical thrown into your gut for? I don't get this. Last night I drank red wine. I eat grapes at night before going to sleep. I have done this for years. He says each cup of his magic coffee provides the same amount of antioxidants as a glass of red wine. If you stop the average person in the street and ask them what an antioxidant is, they wouldn't know what you're talking about. They have no idea, but they know it's good for you. They know if it has an antioxidant, it's good for you. Well, I've been writing popular books on health for a long time. My first published book was in 1972, and I know what an antioxidant is, and I also know what it isn't. It's not a magic substance. But a common sense would dictate that if it comes from the skins of grapes, Why don't you just eat grapes with skins? I don't quite understand that. I eat red grapes, and I drink coffee, and I'm not going to live forever. What do you think, you're going to live forever? You're not going to live forever. You just won't, you're just not going to live forever. In fact, I looked at the picture. I just brewed a cup of coffee. I got myself a $20 white trash coffee maker. I love it. I had this $500 Italian machine. It broke down. It's like a Ferrari. Beautiful to look at. But unbelievable. Every other day, I mean, to just make a cup of coffee, you need an engineering manual. It hisses and it groans and it practically sings an aria to you from Pagliacci. It's unbelievable, but you can't make a coffee out of it. Every other day, I'm calling a guy in New Jersey, some kid who sounds like he should be working in a Scungili shack on Mulberry Street. And he's giving me, like, secret methods to make the machine work. Pull out the thing and pull it in and stick your hand under it and look where the grinds are and run a finger and did and that and then and rub it in the thing and put it back in. If it doesn't work, drop dead and go. So I went and I bought a $20 Mr. Coffee machine. I got so fed up with the Italian coffee makers that I had, I swear to God. I went back to the grinder, which I kind of like. I like that sound of the beans grinding in the morning. It wakes me and the dog up. I hate the sound, actually, but it symbolizes morning to me, the noise that it makes. And then I got the paper filters. I did get the hippie filters, though. I won't use the one with the chlorine bleach in it. I know better than that. I don't want cancer. So I got the very hippy-dippy brown coffee filter paper. Costs a little bit more, but believe me, it's a smart move. And I put in the water. I put in the bean. I pour the water. I press it. And in 2 minutes, it makes me a cup of coffee without singing me, you know, an aria. I don't understand why anyone needs those machines anymore, but whatever. Three of them broke down the same day. 855-407-282. What do we got in the caller? Did I take a call yet? I had one call today. Iowa. I'm not talking about Iowa. I'm not talking about New Hampshire. You know, it's one state I've never been to is Iowa, now that I think about it. I'm not denigrating the great state of Iowa. I have a wonderful affiliate in Iowa, but I've never been there. There's a few other states I've never been to. That's one of them. It's number one state that sticks out of my mind is a state I've never been to. Why is it a bellwether? Why is it a bellwether? I don't get it. For what's going to happen in an election. That may have been true when America was 96% white and people still owned a farm. What in the world is wrong with you people? And then the media goes crazy about who wins in this. There's always one. It's always predicted. Yeah, right, sure. Right. So maybe I should take calls on health instead. No, I know what I want to do. I don't want to do news. I don't want to do any more news. I'm sick of the news. Teddy, here's what we're going to do today. I'm going to be Dr. Mike, Uncle Mike now, and I'm going to do lifestyle questions because many people are very depressed right now. Otherwise, they wouldn't be listening to talk radio. In other words, if you were a normal person and you had a regular life, would you be listening to me? No. You'd be like everyone else, shopping like an idiot, going to a holiday party like a good guy, planning a vacation, planning a family event. You wouldn't be eating your heart out over politics. So it means you have problems, you're agitated. And I don't claim to know everything, nor do I claim I can help you, but I do have enough of an ego and enough of an education to say I suspect that I probably could help you as a lifestyle coach. I can guarantee you I'll do as good a job as the people out there who charge $400 an hour. What do you think, they're smarter than I am? You think they have some magic answer for you any more than a shrink does? You know, when I was a young kid, my mother, she had plenty of problems, real ones, real problems. And she was very sad as a result. And I know she needed a therapist, but there was no such thing in those days for poor people. No, you know, no one would go, and then they were ashamed of it if they admitted they had mental problems, you know, or issues, rather, put it that way, or the need to talk to someone. So she would say to me, a little kid, she'd say, you know, Michael, she says, I think that anyone doesn't need a psychiatrist. What they really need is a good friend to talk to. What does a kid know? Your mother tells you that, so it's true. Guess what? It's true. The older I've gotten, I realize that if you have a good friend that you can talk to, you don't need a psychiatrist. A, they're not charging you. B, I'm talking a good friend. I'm not talking about someone casual. If you got something that's bothering you on your heart, and you want to get it off your heart, right, off your chest, so to speak, you talk to a friend. I mean, it comes at the end of the day. Don't you feel better? So I think I'm going to be that friend right now. I'm going to try it for the next segment on the Savage Nation. I'm sick and tired of politics. So are you. And I want to just do life coach stuff. So since we don't have time to screen the calls, which will take about 12 minutes per call, I'm just going to take a call. I'm going to stab in the dark. Which one of the calls are not anything to do with politics? I don't even know what numbers. I'm confused now because I got lights on and no calls and the screen and this. No, I don't want line. All right, line one, what's on your mind? Go ahead, please, line one. Nothing.
Hello?
A blank job. Yes, go ahead. What's on your mind?
Hello. So I'm 18 years old. I just graduated from high school, and I'm interested in how do you get through your days knowing what's going on with America today?
Good. Now, there you go. Now, that's a legitimate question. It's very difficult. Obama's destroying every cultural value in the society. He's destroying every American value that he possibly can. He is pillaging the nation, wrecking the economy, destroying the military, destroying the family, destroying the church, destroying the whole meaning of Judaism. Is that what you mean by how do you get through a day?
Yeah, I see it. And I feel...
I know you see it. As an 18-year-old, you are facing double-barrel shotguns filled with these lead pellets of hatred from the sickos who are running the schools. You're asking me a question for which the answer is already built into it. I face it by talking about it on the radio. My question is, how do you face it when you have no one to express it to, right?
Right, right.
I'm not going to ask you for examples of what it is that has you agitated, because I pretty much can tell you it's the schooling that you're getting around you, correct?
Yeah.
So what do you do to cope?
Well, I'm actually going through a bit of a phase. I'm starting to kick away the hobbies that I've done, and I'm trying to focus on finding a job that can sustain me and a family that I want to create eventually, probably in the next couple of years.
What, at 18 years of age, you're going to look for a job for the rest of your life?
Well, education for a job, a career.
All right. So let's back up. Are you in school right now?
Yes, I go to community college.
And what are you studying? A general community college? All right, good. That's a starting point. And do you hope to go to a so-called four-year college to listen to the anti-American, anti-male, anti-Christian screed that passes for a liberal arts education today, or you're going to skip that?
I want to skip it. However,
You need to focus on a technical degree. Why don't you just go and get a technical degree in something real and useful instead of something put out that is nothing but a piece of paper with pollution on it? All right, that's the end of that. I have nothing more to say to them. 855-400-7282, michaelsavage.com, Government Zero, the book. Do I have any lifestyle questions? I have lots of them. I don't know if I even want to talk about that. I don't want to talk about politics. I don't want to talk about life. I think I need a vacation. I think I'm going to take tomorrow off. That's what I'm going to do. I don't care about this anymore. Right now, I don't care. It's like something happened over the weekend in my head. You know why? Well, there's 100 reasons why. They signed a climate agreement that has no meaning whatsoever and congratulated themselves on it. That's number one. Idiots. Then the moron today gives a speech about ISIS and a new plan against ISIS. He sounded like he didn't even mean it. Not one word that he mumbled had a meaning. Nothing. Did you listen to him? We have it. Trump says, I'm the opposite of a demagogue. I want to make our country safe again. I'm tired of hearing that. I don't want to hear platitudes from anybody. Norman Lear says this. Donald Trump says that. Obama lists the ISIS leaders killed. Tells those living you are next. Really, he's naming them? Oh, okay. Let's hear clip 17. Maybe I'll feel better.
We are hitting ISIL harder than ever. Coalition aircraft, our fighters, bombers, and drones have been increasing the pace of airstrikes.
This is the one where it sounded like he was cleaning his teeth at the same time. Sounded like he had a toothpick in between his teeth. Okay. Chris on WJR, what's on your mind, Chris?
Hey,
Well, I appreciate it very much, but I don't promote anyone else's show on mine. Let them promote their own show. I'm glad Lou has such a strong fan base. They want to call in other shows to promote him. I guess he's desperate for ratings. He tries to use my show. Who is Lou Dobbs? I never heard of him. Doesn't he have a restaurant called Dobbs Kitchen somewhere in New York? They serve corned beef and bologna. Corned beef and bologna. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO. So in New York, homeless squatters are taking over LaGuardia Airport. Bums are sleeping all over the airport. It looks like a cesspool, like a third world cesspool under de Blasio. And this doesn't catch your eye outside of New York when you see what liberalism actually does. The face of liberalism is expressed here, of bums defecating, urinating on the floor, literally going to the bathroom in LaGuardia Airport in New York and showering naked, competing with people who are trying to fly somewhere, and they do nothing. The police are not permitted to arrest them. This is the face of liberalism. And if you think Detroit was bad, and if you think that Baltimore was bad, you're correct. But that's the face of America if this is not reversed. It's that simple. It's the face of America. Unless this is reversed, all of America will go down the tubes the same way. So let's see the front page of the newspapers. I'm afraid to even look at them. Here, New York Post, Ryan Flynn. It's a guy with a ball in his hand. I don't even know what sport it is. Hit and run hero, okay. Nothing about killing handicapped children by ISIS. Nothing about executing them with a lethal injection. Nothing about the women who were being raped at age 8 and 7 by ISIS until they bleed to death. That didn't make it to the news. Oh, wait a minute here. Most New Yorkers don't want Syrian refugees in the U.S., poll says. How'd that get in? How'd that get into the paper? Most New Yorkers don't want Syrian refugees in the United States, poll says. 52% of voters in the United say they oppose opening doors to Syrian migrants, while 39% said they would let them in. I would say that all the good liberal brainwashed children in New York should be asked if they would take a Syrian refugee in their own house for 90 days so that we in America who are mean-spirited right-wingers can see how that works out. Get back to us after 90 days and tell us how it worked out.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
ISIL also continues to lose territory in Iraq. ISIL had already lost across Kirkuk province and at Tikrit. More recently, ISIL lost at Sinjar, losing a strategic highway. ISIL lost at Baji with its oil refinery. We saw during raid, the daring raid supported by our special forces, which rescued dozens of prisoners from ISIL, and in which Master Sergeant Joshua Wheeler made the ultimate sacrifice. Okay. So far, ISIL has lost about 40%
of the picture. Lackluster throwaway speech about how great the war is going. No one believes a word he says. And by the way, whatever little war he's fighting is only because of Putin anyway. Had Putin not raised the stakes and really taken on these monsters, Obama would be doing nothing as he had been doing for 2 years. Nothing, and yet he wants to destroy, he wants to destroy Russia along with Assad. This is crazy. See, this is why it's hard to do a show, because most of you don't follow me. Here's an article I saw on Drudge. Again, it's food-related because I eat a lot of food. Do you eat food? I eat food 3 times a day or more. Supermarket selling shrimp peeled by slaves. Another problem. Another problem. Now, I go for a shrimp now. I have to feel guilty. AP, global supermarket selling shrimp peeled by slaves. And it's about poor slaves who rip out the guts, heads, tails, and shells off shrimp. And it's poor, innocent Thai people from the countryside working in a shrimp peeling factory. Well, admittedly, it's a horrendous job. But here's the question. When these lunatics in the Associated Press kill the shrimp industry, tell me what these poor people who are now peeling shrimp are going to do for a living. They won't have a job peeling shrimp. So they want to work peeling shrimp in an equally brutal factory. This is the problem with liberalism. They don't know what they're talking about. AP journalists followed and filmed trucks loaded with freshly peeled shrimp from the gig shed to major Thai exporting companies and then using, you hear what they wasted their time on? U.S. Customs records. They're tracking shrimp now. They're not tracking Muslims who are coming here to bomb us like in San Bernardino, but the fearless journalists at the Associated Propaganda Organization are tracking shrimp. And who peels the shrimp? They're not talking about the girls being sold into slavery and being raped to death. No, they're talking about shrimp. They also track similar connections from another fact. Oh, come on. U.S. customs records show that the shrimp made its way into the supply chains of major U.S. food stores and retailers. Then they name the food stores that have them when it's everyone who has the same shrimp. But they target Walmart, Whole Foods, Red Lobster, and Olive Garden. Why did they pick on them when all the shrimp come from slave shrimp peelers? It also entered the supply chain of some of America's best-known seafood brands, including Chicken of the Sea and Fancy Feast, which are sold in Safeway to Schnucks, to Piggly Wiggly and Albertsons. Brave AP reporters went to supermarkets in all 50 states and found shrimp products. I'm not making this up. I swear to God, this is what the Associated Press has fallen down to. European and Asian import and export records are confidential, but the Thai companies receiving shrimp tracked by the Associated Press, this is not a parody. This is not a parody. I swear to God, this is what they're doing. They're not tracing Muslims who are coming in to blow us up or to shoot us up. They're tracing shrimp. Abuse is common in Samsut Sakhun. An International Labor Organization report estimated 10,000 migrant children ages 13 to 15 work peeling shrimp. Well, I think there's only one answer, which is to bring them in and give them indoor swimming pools. We should bring in the 10,000 shrimp peelers from Burma, take them out of the evil gig peeling factory, put them on big transports run by, let us say, UPS, who are bringing in the Muslims, on UPS planes that are coming back empty, and bring them into facilities with nice hot pools. They can play soccer. They can do lacrimé. And then America will be facing its values again. Because they were illegal workers, the owners constantly threatened. This is an article, like 5,000-word article, 10,000 words, about shrimp peelers. This is their big problem. Not about girls being raped until they bleed to death. I keep repeating that till you eventually hear it. There's a saying in advertising, you have to repeat something five times till people actually hear it. Do we have the soundbite, Robert, from Friday, the most important sound of last week, that nobody else in radio played that I know of? It came from CNS Media. Now, the man's voice is that in translation. He appeared before U.S. Congress about what ISIS, Islamofascists are doing to young girls. And you have to listen carefully to hear it. Many of you asked where you could hear it. Well, you're going to hear it in a minute. Then it comes out today that ISIS is executing handicapped children. And the Associated Press, though, is bravely tracking down shrimp to make sure the shrimp peeling stops. Listen.
Thousands of young Yazidi women, girls, and even children, who as I speak have been enslaved and forced into sexual slavery. These girls are subjected to daily multiple rapes by ISIS monsters. According to many escaped women and girls whom I talked to in northern Iraq, the abducted Yazidi mostly women and children number over 7,000. Some of those women and girls have had to watch 7, 8, and 9-year-old children bleed to death before their eyes after being raped by ISIS militia multiple times
a day. Let's stop right here. I can't listen to any more because the next one's worse, where the parents come crying for their little children. They're fed a meal by the ISIS monsters, and then they laugh at them and say, you've just eaten your child. We turned it into a stew. You say they're making it up, right? Why? Because Norman Lear didn't tell it to you? Because Obama the liar didn't tell it to you? Because John Kerry the false prophet didn't tell it to you? Infidels, please. Infidels, do you know what real tragedy is? It's not peeling shrimp. It's watching a 7-year-old girl being raped to death in Syria by monsters worse than Hitler. That's what real trouble is. All right, let's take some calls. Mike calling on the internet. I ask for lifestyle questions. I'll try to be Doc Savage, your older brother or your uncle, and no longer exists in America. Mike, line 7, go ahead. What's your question?
Oh, yes. Hi, Dr. Savage. With all that's going on in the world, and especially, you know, the country, how can I, like, try and find hope and inspiration just in everyday things? I've been having a lot of depression and trouble sleeping.
I'm not laughing at you. You're not alone. I'm just trying to... Maybe that'll help you when you understand that America is depressed because of Jay Johnson, who has failed us in San Bernardino and not been fired, or depressed because Obama's fighting a false war against ISIS, or depressed because these fools signed an agreement on global warming that has no meaning whatsoever. Of course there's reason to be depressed. So maybe if you know that there's a reason for your depression, you'll be less depressed.
Yeah, I guess.
In other words, you're not crazy. Mike, there's reason to be depressed. You're not nuts. That doesn't help you, though, right?
People. No, I mean, I try and tell people, and they think I'm crazy. They think it's, you know, oh, you're a conspiracy theorist or whatever.
Well, all right. Well, maybe you shouldn't listen to talk radio. Maybe you don't want to know the truth. The truth is very depressing. See, and this is a terrible thing to admit on a show like mine, where I tend to try and tell what I think is really going on and what's important on a daily basis, but it's depressing a lot of people, which is why they're tuning out. Instead, they're paying attention to silly things. You know, I was in San Francisco on Saturday. I spent the day in the city. In the middle of the day, there were thousands of young idiots walking around dressed up as Santa and Santaettes. The same in New York. Morons running around getting drunk from morning till night. I didn't mean drunk in the streets dressed as Santa. And I looked at it and I said to myself, now you know why Islam is rising and why the West is dying. I said that to myself. If a person is a religious person and they see healthy looking 20 something kids running around like idiots dressed up as Santa Claus getting drunk all day, what are you going to do? Get agitated over it? You say, weren't you young once? So you say, yeah, I was young once, but there's something wrong with this picture. How could you have so many thousands of fools dressed up as Santa, running around the streets getting drunk in America, and not see that it's a symptom of a greater problem? I said to myself. Did you see them where you live? Where do you live?
Oh, I live in Arizona, but yeah, I mean, like...
And there were no drunk Santas wandering around the cacti?
Not with caps, but yeah, everyone just wants to watch football and get drunk and ignore everything, but it's...
You know. You're lonely right now, right? You're alone mainly. That's your biggest problem. I can hear that, right? You have no one to talk to?
Yeah. I mean, my girlfriend and I, we're going through problems right now, and...
Yeah. Uh-huh. All right. Well, you're not alone with that. The holidays are a big breakup time. The holidays are a very big breakup time for people, Mike, and you're not alone. I tell you something else, you know. Years ago, people dared to admit that they were lonelier during the holidays than during other times of the year because they see other people allegedly looking busy and happy and being invited to parties, and they're alone, and they get very depressed. I think that's what you're going through.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So where is your girlfriend now? What, she left you, or you left her, or what?
Oh, well, we've been in a long-distance relationship for a couple of years now, and I don't know, we've just kind of grown apart recently.
No, wait, what do you mean by long-distance relationship? You were never with her altogether?
No, not, like, all the time. Like, she lives in Sacramento, and so we see each other maybe every couple months or so, you know, spend a few days together, but...
And how can that even be a relationship, you know? I mean, that's... I guess you hope that one day you'd be together, right? And now you know it's not going to happen. How old are you?
I just turned 25.
Oh, you're a youngster. I could be your Dutch uncle and say, look, yes, it's heartache. Yes, you're going to remember everything about her, and you're going to glorify the good times, and you're going to forget the other times. You're going to forget the bad times. You're going to take everything that was good and magnify it into, like, permanence. And you're going to forget the bad times because that's what you do. That's a normal human thing to do, but it's not the reality of it. I mean, I can guarantee you, if you were together every minute of every day, you wouldn't be feeling this way right now. And I'll say again what you already know. There are plenty of fish in the sea. Is she the only one in the world for you, do you think?
I don't know. Maybe.
Yes, you're going to say yes. You're going to say yes, she was the only one. God sent her down. She was perfect. I don't know why it didn't work out. Why am I being punished? I know those are the thoughts you're having right now, correct?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I'm just...
I'm not laughing at you. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to be a cynic here and mock you like a guy who's just laughing. I'm not laughing at you. Heartache is real. Heartache is as real as it comes. But you have to remember that it's also based upon a false remembrance of a relationship that hardly existed.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I mean, we talked every day. It's not like, you know.
All right, so you missed the companionship even on the phone. I get that. She was a part of your mental landscape. So you don't even have the buddy anymore, the phone buddy, right?
Not as much now. We still
do
talk.
Do you, Mike, before, hold on. I don't want to spend all day on this, but you're as important to me as anyone else. So let me ask you this. Do you have friends outside of that girl?
Yeah, a couple. Not very many, but a couple.
All right. No one has very many. You have one or two people you could say you're close enough to express your pain to?
Yeah, sure.
Do they know about what you're going through?
Not really. I try.
No, because you see, you're a typical guy and you don't want to admit it. You don't want to sound like you're feeling this because you won't think you're as much as of a male, right?
Yeah. Right,
and I get it. Look, I'm an older guy. You can tell me these things. The thing is that you think that other guys don't go through these things. You're afraid to admit it. Let me tell you something. If a guy's really your friend, he should have the time for you to sit down with you and have a beer and say, look, I'm really sick right now. My heart's killing me. You know, I'm not together with her. I remember all these things. And talk it through. It'll take a while. It's not going to happen with one night. Then eventually here's what's going to happen though, Mike. He is not going to get tired of hearing it. You're going to get tired of hearing your own voice whining about the loss of this girl, and you're going to stop doing it. What's going to happen is you're going to become tired of talking about her, and you're going to stop talking about her. And that'll be the day that you start to heal. I'm telling you how it's going to be. The all-knowing savage just saved you from heartache. It's not going to go on forever. Mike, it's not going to go on forever. Right now you think that there's a chasm that you will never, ever cross. You're on one side, she's on the other, and there's nothing but a canyon that falls down into Hades itself. It's not the way it is. It's not the way it is. There are other people out there. You can find them. If you found one, you can find another. It's not like you're a guy who's alone and never had a girlfriend. Am I correct? You're not like a real weirdo loser.
Well, before her, I did never have a girlfriend. I was in my early 20s, and she was my first. So, I mean, that's probably...
Oh, so it's even worse because you think she's the only one, right?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I'm more depressed about the world situation rather than her. Like, it's really...
Well, it's hard to say, you know. People tend to wrap up their personal emotions in world events sometimes, and it's very hard to segregate out which is really operational in terms of the overall sense of the overall emotional package that you're dealing with. Mike, let me send you a Christmas gift. I'm sending you a beautiful copy of Government Zero. Take it to a bar and read it in a bar and see, maybe you'll attract a decent American conservative girl. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO. Not waiting for anybody. Doing what she wants to do, that's all. I know, you thought that for the rest of your life, you'd sit on a couch together and listen to Uncle Savage. You'd go to movies, you'd watch television, you'd get a little puppy, you'd have a decent job, and you'd brush her hair over her ear, and neither of you would ever get sick or yell at each other, right? Right. Ann Smith writes on Facebook, Dr. Savage, I love your segment today on being Uncle Savage. It brings out a side of you I love to hear. Your advice is so interesting. I actually enjoyed that call with that poor guy, that lonely guy out there. I felt like I finally did something useful today. It's a weird day for me. I'm telling you, I'm not interested in the news. I don't care about the election. I can't stand the primaries. I'm not going to watch the debates. So I did a lifestyle segment. I took one lonely guy. Maybe I helped him a little bit. I don't know. It's a weird day. Time seems like it's moving slowly. I'm telling you, it's odd. There's like a time-space continuum warp today. Everything's moving slowly. I don't know, maybe I should have stayed in bed this morning, but the dog had to pee. I would have slept another 2 hours. I didn't want to get up. It was freezing. Cold. I don't sleep with the heat on. The wind came in off the bay. It was a perfect morning to not get out of bed. Then I made the mistake. I said, all right, the dog's going to make on the flight, whatever. Now he's sleeping and I'm eating my heart out on the radio. Go figure that one out. I'll be back here. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
This is a bad version. This was like a live job, probably in a bad nightclub in Cleveland somewhere. Go ahead, play. It's a bad one. I never liked him. Turn it off. I'm getting a headache listening to him. There's one piece that's manic-y enough to play. It's like Gene Krupa on the drums. You know, it's so fast and frenetic, and it lights your brain up for a minute. But if it's a bad version in a club in a little town somewhere, forget about it. It doesn't work. Welcome to the show, Hour 3. Bingo. News, forget it. Not interested. Whatever news I was interested in, I did already. And there is no breaking news. It's like Jingle Bells already. The brains are shut down. Jay Johnson still has his job, even though he failed us with San Bernardino and how many other terrorist events, because he didn't want to upset anybody by looking into their social media. He still has his job. 7-year-old girls are still being raped to death in Iraq, and Obama says nothing about it. Said they're worried about shrimp peeling. So that's why I shifted to something else, which is lifestyle. I'm going to be Uncle Mike, because the news is so depressing and boring, then you've all heard it anyway, and what's the point? So, if you would like me to be Uncle Savage and answer your lifestyle questions, I'll give it a shot. 855-407-282. No one else in the history of radio could do this. Maybe you don't like it, maybe you do like it. I like it, if I can help you. WJR, Steve, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, I'm a new listener, and I just heard you talk to that young kid. I've been divorced twice, and I just wanted him to know that, you know, take care of yourself, exercise, read your Bible, and you'll get through it. I mean, I really appreciate doing what you're doing. I'm so grateful that I've found you on the radio.
Well, let me ask you, Steve, hold it. You divorced twice. The advice I gave him, don't you think it's true, though, what I said?
Absolutely.
In other words, he thinks it's the only girl in the world, and that he lost her, he's never going to meet another one. That's not true, is what I'm saying.
It's not true at all.
Now, so you got married twice.
I'm on my third marriage.
God. Well, we don't want to go there, but does it all start out the same way, with, like, you think it's going to be roses forever?
Absolutely.
So what goes wrong in a marriage? Where does it start? She brushes her teeth in front of you, and that's the beginning of the end?
I think we all...
I got to tell you something. If you want your marriage to last, I highly recommend not 2 sinks in 1 bathroom, but 2 bathrooms. This is the biggest breakdown point in any relationship, is sharing a bathroom.
Yeah.
Yep. No, I'm serious. When did your first marriage break down? What happened?
Oh, geez. Just immaturity.
Okay, second marriage. What caused that to come apart?
Oh, man. Some of the same things. Partying a little too much. Just a little too much stupid living.
What, like Santa outfits on Saturday morning, getting drunk, whatever. So now you think this is the right one, this third marriage?
Absolutely. We're both Christians. She has a heritage from Armenia. And we're very much into... our spirituality with Christ and
are you also of Armenian heritage?
Scottish.
I'm sorry, I couldn't. Are you also of Armenian heritage?
Scottish and the Netherlands.
So, what does the Armenian part of her heritage have to do with you?
Well, I just love the bump on her nose, and I just wanted to.
Oh, come on now! Are you being serious? So you like Semites, do you?
Well, she's beautiful, and I'm just grateful.
Look, the main thing is that you're in love with this woman, and you want this one to work, because you don't want to do this again. How old are you now, Steve?
I'm 52.
Oh, you're not a kid. You see, I'm the voice of a 30-something. It must be all those good drugs you used all those years that helped you retain your youth. All right, but in your 50s, you're not going to make the same mistakes you made in your 20s and 30s, are you?
Absolutely not.
All right. So what advice would you give to a young guy out there in his 20s whose girlfriend left him, and he's lonely, and he's depressed, and he thinks it's the world's problems, when it's really his own emotional problems that are getting to him. What would you tell him to do?
Oh, you just lifestyle. I mean, you got to eat right. You got to exercise. And I don't know if he's Christian.
I'm going to give everyone listening to this show an instant hit. He has instant antidepressant advice. Powdered vitamin C, let's say a gram or two, and then run around the block a few times. It'll go right across your blood-brain barrier faster than you could imagine. You know that vitamin C crosses the blood-brain barrier faster than heroin? Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah, no, that's part of my background in the biomedical sciences, particularly in nutrition. It's an amazing antidepressant. All right, Steve, because you're a new listener, I'm giving you a special Christmas present, Government Zero. Phone number is 855-400-7282 is the phone number. Here we go. Here's a great call. Line of four. Now we're cooking. Al, what's on your mind?
Hey, Uncle Mike, I wanted to talk to you about cars.
Good. That's what I want to hear. Let's be American. Let's talk about cars. I love car shows.
Well, I know you're going to the Ferrari dealership, so I wanted to see, do you prefer the Italian motorsports cars or the American muscle cars?
That's an amazing question. I am a car collector, and I never talk about it because people will think I'm boasting. I've always been fascinated by machinery of all kinds. I love engines. I like motors, and I've always loved cars that are special. Okay, let me tell you what I have now. My daily driver is a car I bought new in 2008. It's a 12-cylinder Mercedes S600. This is the workhorse. It's the greatest car ever owned. 0 to 60 in 4.5 seconds. This thing is a tank. It is a tank. And I got to tell you something else about that car. The gauge steel that they used in it is much different than the new ones because I drove a new one and it's too light for me. So that's number one. I hear that these cars are going to become collector cars because they were built better than the new ones. That's a little inside story. Okay, now as far as cars go, I own a Dodge Hellcat, which I got last year courtesy of Chrysler Motor Car Company, one of the first in America. All black, astounding car. It was almost too fast to drive. You had to really learn how to drive that thing. It sounds better than any car I've ever driven. I keep it in a garage. I rarely drive it. I love that car. Greatest car ever made. Love it. But the handling is nowhere near that of the Mercedes. I got to tell you that right now. The Mercedes goes over like curves and come off the Golden Gate Bridge. The thing lopes over the broken road rather than bounces into them. And a great difference. In a straight line, though, you can't beat that Dodge. The sound of it is awesome. It's a astounding car. Now, when it comes to exotics, I have a 1970 Jaguar XKE Series 2 Roadster, light blue. Gorgeous thing. I never drive it. Because you know Jaguars, right? I mean, I've done had a lot of work done to it. Triple carbs, 4.2 liter, magnificent machine. Handles beautifully, but I don't drive it. I mean, I'm not crazy. I recently purchased an XK150, 1961, 3.8 liter drop head coupe, gorgeous car. Again, I don't drive it. It's a collectible. That's all it is. Now, you asked about Ferraris, right? I had a red 430. Do you know what that model is, the Ferrari 430, the red one?
Yeah. I think I've seen it done.
Yeah, I had a 360 before that, which was a modified racing car, very hard to drive on a road. The 430 was fantastically better. I had that for years, bought it new in 06. I traded it 2 months ago for a Ferrari California in a light blue. It's a four-seater. I love the four-seater more. It's a little faster. It's got a better transmission. It's a more of a GT car than a sports car, which I don't use. I'm not the right age bracket for a sports car. I mean, sports car. You know, an older guy in a sports car is a stereotype. It's kind of an embarrassment. So I don't even like to be seen in one. And so this is more of a GT kind of car. And it's a fine car, but I wouldn't take it on an everyday. I wouldn't take it everywhere on an everyday car. Like, for example, I went into San Francisco on Saturday. I wanted to go into the city, meet some friends for lunch, dinner, whatever. I only took the older Mercedes because the thing is a workhorse, as I said. I wouldn't drive a Ferrari into that city with the broken roads. That doesn't really answer your question, does it?
Yeah, it does. I've been listening to you for 15 years, and I love when you talk about cars. I think I watched a lot of the same you know, TV shows on Velocity.
I watch them every night. I get so bored of the pornography and the hatred and the anger and the liberalism. I wind up watching guys with ugly beards fixing things and making cars run. I had a beautiful car. I shouldn't have sold it. I had it on a stage with me years ago, a 65 Caddy convertible, a red one. I sold it about 4 years ago for $24,000. I shouldn't have sold the car. It was magnificent. So a wonderful man bought it, I think, in Alaska. I don't know where the thing is. If he's listening, I still have a set of keys for it that I found. Did you ever sell a car that you wish you didn't sell? You ever do that?
Yeah. I had a 75 Cadillac Eldorado. It was my first car ever. And actually, I drove it into the ground. But, it was sold probably...
Yeah, that car I should have kept for the Savage Museum, which will never exist. It only exists in my mind. No, my archives and all. I had a dream once of building a Savage Museum where the red Cadillac would be the center of it and all of my audio tapes would be in a certain area where you can go and listen to them and then all the videos would be running. You know, you could press it and watch that and the books and the manuscripts and the this and the memorabilia. But what's the point? I mean, what's the point of building a thing like that? That's a little too egotistical. Nobody would be interested in all of that stuff. But I'm not going to throw the archives out. I'm going to just give them to the family so they can burn them and throw them away for me. All right, my friend, thanks for the call. Be back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-CO. So I got an email on my Facebook account from the young man who was lonely. He said, thank you. He's actually a real person. I'm not going to read his name. He said, thank you, you helped me, and thanks for the book and all of that. I mean, it's hard to believe there are real people who are really looking for some kind of advice. I think it's a friendly voice out there, and I'm glad I could fill that role once in a while. Because, hey, look, there is a limit to politics. You know, it's not the be-all and end-all of the world. He says, hey, Michael, it's the caller lonely guy. Thanks for talking to me today, Dr. S. You did make me feel better. Thanks for the Christmas gift of Government Zero. I'm looking forward to reading it. And there are other things that I shouldn't read, and it's about the post I made this morning, over the weekend, really. Have you figured out why it's Merkel, the potato-faced monster from East Germany's communist past, and why it's been the radfems here who are flooding the West with Muslim males? Have you been able to see the pattern? They hate their fathers, so they hate white males and Christianity, and they think these Muslim men will treat them better. Got it? That's what I wrote. That's my analysis. It's one way of looking at it. The feminists and the leftists are fundamentally suicidal, and they also hate the Christian white male. The radical feminists have targeted the Christian white male for 40 straight years. That we have known. But now that they are embracing an invasion of our nation by Muslim males, you have to ask yourself, are they sane? That's all. We know there's a war against the Christian West. We know that. We know that the hardline communists are aligned with the Islamists. We also know that National Socialists under Hitler had strong alliances with the Islamists. It's history repeating itself. And that's why Merkel, who was named Man of the Year, I think that's more apt than you may think, who comes from East Germany with a communist past, is leading the destruction of Germany. She's leading it. You know that potato-faced monster that was put on the cover of the $1 a year Time magazine cover? Okay, you get the picture. 855-407-2822 is the phone number. Let's take a caller or two. Jocelyn on KSFO in San Francisco, what's your question or comment?
Yeah, Savage, do you think there's a difference between hybridization and GMO? I feel like they get...
That's a great question. No, I'm glad you said that, because I thought you were just going to talk about GMOs, but sure, there's a difference between hybridization. Hybridization is a slower version of GMOs, genetically modified organisms. We understand that, correct?
Yes.
Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. What is it that you fear about GMOs? There's a lot of hysteria about that, as there is about global warming. What part of genetically modifying an organism worries you?
Well, I'm just not sure if it has any effect on you know, its makeup, or is it really just speeding up the process, or are they genetically altering it so that it could, you know, be cancer-forming or something to that effect?
All right. Well, we all have those questions. I don't think there is a definitive answer. And I can give you a cavalier answer, and I can give you a realistic answer. I personally could care less. I do not obsess on whether a food that I'm eating is a GMO-free or a Schmendrick-free. It doesn't matter to me at a certain point. I can't walk around tripping over every food label in the history of the world. Having said that, for 50 years, I've looked at everything I've ever eaten. I'm very careful not to eat foods with sugar in them because I know that sugar is the number one poison in the Western food supply next to pesticides. So let's start with the things to really worry about. Organophosphorus, pesticides, I don't want them in my body. Sugars, I don't eat them because I know that they're poisoning my body. So thank God I'm still pretty healthy, but the thing is now we're getting to a whole new realm where people fear the Frankenstein organism as a result of genetically modifying the genes, meaning of an organism, right? But at the end of the day, you know, we are all genetically modified individuals. You know that. Your parents, for example, did selective genetics, didn't they, by picking each other to make babies? Aren't we all a product of some kind of bioengineering?
Yeah, I think it just is a little scarier when it happens in a lab.
Right. No, I understand. I'm making a broader point, which is parents select each other based upon, well, they fall in love. But what is falling in love? It's a lot of selections made in falling in love. One of the selections is, wow, she's great or he's great. He'll make a great father or she'll make a great mother. That's a form of genetic engineering. You're picking somebody to mate with to make a baby. So in other words, we're all a product of selection, genetic selection. The question is, does speeding it up, is what you're asking, make Frankenstein organisms? I don't have a definitive answer to that.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Let me give you a warm, cuddly Christmas story. This should make all of you good Christians in America feel good. Illegal aliens who fled over the border, broke into our borders, undocumented minors, they're called by psychopathic social service liberals, have been given a welcome. And they broke into America, and Friday afternoon, the first of hundreds of the illegal aliens from Mexico were checked into a camp and conference center in Texas, in Ellis County. They were assigned nice, clean rooms with white sheets, given dinner, and they have an indoor pool to swim in. And you wonder why they're running out of Mexico? They don't have to work, by the way. No way, it gets even better. The illegal alien teens are coming in. They're getting the swimming pool, the sheets. They got the. They're getting education and recreation. They're getting soccer. They're getting arts and crafts. Yeah. And in Dallas, attorney Domingo Garcia says he's organizing lawyers willing to represent the illegal alien invaders in immigration court. He said, make sure their legal rights are protected, that they're in a comfortable place. And even though they're separated from their families, that they have a Christmas that teaches them what American values are like. Hey, Domingo, I'll tell you what American values are like. When we get Donald Trump as president, you'll find out what American values are like because you'll be on the same bus going south that they'll be on, Domingo. That's what American values are, is putting you on a bus out of the country as a seditious. See, I didn't mean to do this. I apologize in advance. That's an American value. It's called protecting your borders, language, and culture. Not giving a bunch of invaders a swimming pool and a soccer camp. What kind of nation is this? How can the country survive the liberals who have destroyed it so far? I don't know if there's any going back in reality. People say to me every day, do you think we can save it? I'm not so sure. You'd have to reverse everything that the psycho in the White House has done over the last number of years. How hard do you think it would be to reverse what Psycho has done and what Psycho is going to do? Psycho is trying to impose his demonic will upon the American people every day of his life. Psycho does it every way he can. The Psycho invites a fake rabbi to the White House to deliver a sermon about Hanukkah that is nothing but a left-wing screed. It has nothing to do with religion, nothing to do with Judaism, nothing to do with the tradition of the Jewish people. And he invites, on top of it all, the furthest left woman so-called rabbi he could ever find to disgrace Judaism even further. He's embracing every far left doctrine imaginable. It's beyond anything that a college would be doing. This is how bad this is, and there's no opposition. Okay, I made my point. I've editorialized enough. And he gave a speech this morning saying the United States is attacking the Islamic State harder than ever. Listen to this one. Trying to calm Americans about terrorism for the third time in 3 weeks, President Obama, who speaks loudly and carries a limp stick, said that the U.S.-led coalition is attacking the Islamic State in Syria and Iraq harder than ever? Really? Then why are they still operating? You could have defeated Nazi Germany in less time if you had a real war leader instead of speak loudly and carry a limp stick. The only people that Obama saves his viciousness for are the American people, the taxpayers, and those in the Republican Party who don't knuckle under to him. Otherwise, what do you got to say? He took Roosevelt's talk softly and carry a big stick and reversed it. Talk loudly and carry a limp stick. That's what we see. And it goes on and on, and it gets worse and worse by the day. Here is another one for you if you just tuned in. The Liberal Church of Hollywood. Norman Lear, remember him? The man who created people, I think he created All in the Family, Meathead. He's now a 93-year-old senile case, and he gave himself an award, and he announced an initiative to combat Donald Trump's so-called hate speech and anti-Muslim rhetoric. Can anyone explain this to me? Please explain it to me, and I mean this in the most respectful way possible. Why do liberal Jews embrace Islam more so than any other group in America? Tell me. Can anyone explain that to me? Why do liberal Jews embrace Islam when Islam hates Jews? Now, I wouldn't say that if it was not in the Quran itself. You know and I know that they consider themselves better than everybody, even by their holy book. It's in the holy book. Read yourself what it says, not what the politicians have told you to think the holy book says. I want to do something I've not done in a while. I like to play with my Facebook account over the weekend. I give people a little taste of what's coming on Monday. They're all clamoring to hear the wit and wisdom of Michael Savage, yours truly. So I posted a story over the weekend, and I'm just going to read it to you because you have to listen to what I wrote. It occurred to me Saturday night I had a satori. Many of you don't know what a satori is, but if you've read Alan Watts or you're an ex-hippie, or let's say if you're at all literate, if you've even read a book, let's say you've read a book in your entire life, you'll know what a satori is. And here's what I wrote after I had a satori about it. Here's what I wrote. Have you figured out why it's Merkel, the potato-faced monster from East Germany's communist past, and why it's been the radical feminists here who are flooding the West with Muslim males? Have you been able to see the pattern? They hate their fathers, so they hate white males and Christianity. And they think these Muslim men will treat them better, I ask? Like Obama's mother. Do you get it? That's Dr. Michael Savage, psychiatric analysis for a Sunday evening. And I got not a lot of people, but 15,000 people who have a brain and could actually think responded to it. And some of them were quite brilliant. Some of them were predictable. But the issue is, I actually broke the code on why it's Potato Face herself in Germany and the radical feminists who are flooding America with Muslim males. Incidentally, it's 90% Muslim males of military age who are coming into Germany and into the United States of America. And the part that slays me the most is you watch a show like Homeland, which I did last night, which is one of the best episodes ever, and they know, the people who write that, direct it, produce it, and act in it, they understand the existential threat to the West, and they have produced a drama about it. And they show a group of Muslim refugees, deeply embedded in Germany, part of German life, welcomed in as refugees, who are plotting to release sarin gas in a German subway to poison tens of thousands of Germans and kill them. How is it that liberals who watch shows like this and applaud shows like this cannot connect their fantasy from the reality upon which it is based? Where is the disconnect, I ask myself. I don't expect an answer. But those are the questions that plague me in this time of madness in the world, in the West, which is committing suicide at a pace I could never imagine would have appeared in my lifetime. The politically correct crowd just got a great American novel banned. That's right, you heard me. Mark Twain is now out. They threw out Huck Finn, I think, because he uses the N-word. Even though the whole novel is about a white boy who befriends a runaway slave named Jim, they threw it out of the library in Philadelphia. Of course, it's a Friends library, and that's a Quaker group, and you know what Quakers are, don't you? You know how nuts the Quakers are, don't you? And I'm not talking about the Oats either. 350 babies and their parents possibly exposed to TB at a Northern California hospital. They won't identify the nurse with TB. But now all of the infants and mothers need an antibiotic treatment. The San Jose Mercury News reports that Santa Clara County officials are trying to track down 350 babies and their parents who may have been exposed to a nurse with TB at Valley Medical Center's Mother and Infant Care Center. I wonder who the nurse is. I wonder if she's documented. Anyone have a guess on that one? Here's another one that is heartbreaking. In New York City, a psychopathic principal has banned the Pledge of Allegiance and Santa Claus. The psycho has replaced Thanksgiving, etc. The new principal, Eugene Jaela Kim, has given PS 169 in Sunset Park, Brooklyn, a politically insane scrub down to the dismay of teachers and parents. They can't say Merry Christmas, no angels, no star because it's going to represent a religious system like the Star of David. Instead, she put in a harvest festival. The teacher's a certifiable maniac. That's New York City schools under de Blasio, the psycho. Here's another one for those of you who think it's all a joke. Are you ready? How long have I, Michael Savage, called ISIS Islamofascism? Like for as long as you can remember? Well, I'm not making this one up. ISIS's Sharia judges ordered the extermination of disabled children. Yeah, turn the radio off. You don't want to hear it. I'm the bad guy. Trump is the bad guy. Not ISIS, not Obama. They're the good guys. Islamic State jihadists have reportedly ordered the execution of children who are mentally or physically retarded, disabled. An horrific replay of the Nazi atrocities that murdered thousands of children with disabilities during World War II. In a Facebook post, the Iraqi activist group Mosel I released a video and reported a fatwa had been issued on the innocents. Are you ready? Hold on to your hat, all you good liberals, because you think that Trump is the problem. You think we on the conservative side are the problem. It's your sickness. It's your mental illness. It's Norman Lear's mental illness. It's liberalism itself that's the mental illness. Sharia judges have ruled ISIS followers are authorized to kill newborn babies with Down syndrome or congenital deformities and disabled children, the group writes. Naming one of the judges as a Saudi Arabian, his name I will not read. Already, more than 38 infants born with deformities and Down syndrome have been killed either by lethal injection or suffocation in the ISIS strongholds in Syria and in Mosul. And you psychopathic losers want to remove Assad, you sick things, you. Look, liberalism is a very, very serious mental disorder. It's fundamentally filled with moderate terrorists who pose as liberals. If you want to have a good entertainment, go to michaelsavage.com. I dug this picture up because you're not going to believe it. Headline, U.S. judge sworn into office on Quran. Okay, unto itself, it's crazy because this is not a Muslim nation. It's founded on the Bible, not on the Quran. But aside from that insanity, wait until you see what she wears on her head. Looks like a dead cat. She's wearing something on her head that looks like a dead leopard skin or a dead cat. Take a look at the fool. New York's newest 7th Municipal Court Judge for the 7th Municipal Court Judge for the Brooklyn Borough, a Muslim woman, has turned to the Quran to swear in to her seat. Now, the question is it even legal to swear in on a Quran? When did that become legal? But secondly, she looks deranged. She's wearing a dead cat on her head. Looks like a leopard skin. Well, what is this about? What is this, a mockery of what a judge? If you were doing Saturday Night Live 15 years ago, and you wanted to mock what America would look like let's say someone released a gas that made everybody crazy and smile all the time. This is the picture of this face you'd put on that television show. If you were doing a Saturday Night Live skit in the year 2000, showing what would happen when a psychopathic left-wing college professor would become president. You'd put the picture of Obama on Saturday Night Live and everyone would have a screaming laugh. There wouldn't be an actor who would not be laughing hysterically, rolling in the aisles. If... Oh, you get the picture. Be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2640. The question is that after Obama leaves office, should he actually leave office? And Flood has, having at that point flooded America with millions of illegal aliens, primarily from Mexico and other third world nations south of the border. And we will have become a putative third world nation in many ways. Can the country ever come back from this dark force is the question. I mean, we have two dark forces now attacking our once free republic. We have the invasion from south of the border. And then we have the attack upon all of our cultural institutions by the so-called progressive, which is really a regressive left. All-out attack on our borders, language, and culture by progressive travelers who have hijacked public policy from national defense to immigration to public education. The question is, can we ever come back from it? Many of you are heartbroken because you don't think we can ever come back and you're just trying to live out your lives the best way you can. Because you're older people. That's really what I hear from a lot of older people is, thank God I'm old because I don't think I could survive what's coming here. But you do know that there's a nation that's going to be here after you're gone. And you can't give up. Just because we've had an enemy within for so many years. And by the way, it's going to get a lot worse. I want to remind you that when you see the head of Department of Homeland Security, a guy like Jay Johnson, who never, ever should have been appointed, there's something wrong with the whole picture of Jay Johnson. They gave him the job of Homeland Security, and he prevented the DHS from reviewing visa applicants' social media posts. As a result, there is blood on his hands with regard to what just happened last week in Southern California, and yet he hasn't been fired by Obama. Now, why would Obama not immediately fire a guy like this who failed us so horribly? The answer is because Jay Johnson was acting on Obama's orders not to review visa applicants' social media posts because Obama could care a whit less whether or not they had terrorist leanings. I'm going to let you figure out why. So given that every level of the government has been infiltrated and penetrated, and given that there's no opposition party, certainly no opposition press, the only question remains is what can we the people do? I guess the answer is speak out because you can't act out. All you can do is speak out. You can't act out. And I want to remind you of something else, those of you who are on the left side of it. A bird needs two wings to fly. Here in America right now, we only have one giant left wing. One big fat left wing. The other wing has been tied behind the bird's back. And this country has been going in circles. Because of this, because Obama has only permitted this big wing to flap. It's been flying around and around in one direction. You see, a bird needs a left wing and a right wing to fly. And there is actually a right wing in America. But it is not the Republican Party. That's correct. And on those kind notes, on that kind note, I'd like to leave you today in the Savage Nation. I read to you, by the way, just now from a page in my book, Government Zero, which is the collected wisdom of Michael Savage in one dose. Good night.